Coach has high praise for A.J. DeBonta, what he said and what we expect from A.J. this season. A notable ESPN college basketball writer said Kevin Young's squad is better at, quote, nearly every spot. Do we agree?
BYU basketball radio analyst Mark Doran, what does he think of that comment? He joins the show as we break down expectations for the coming season. And Olympian and new national champion James Corrigan in the studio to recap his steeplechase national title over Father's Day weekend.
This is Steeplechase U. Let's go. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, June 16th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is post-Father's Day recapper Dave McKee.
It's great. Father's Day. I love it. It's Father's Day every day, you know, pretty much. But it's great when you stop for a moment and say thanks to your dad or your grandpa or that you are a dad and how much fun that is. One of the coolest things over Father's Day weekend was this video we saw from a father, Ed Istone, watching one of his best runners run for a national championship.
Yeah.
And then there's the Corrigan family. This is as he's making his move, and you can just feel how invested both groups are in what Corrigan's got going on the track. Look at that.
What a moment. What a final lap for him. Prior to the final lap, there was a moment where James was in fifth place. He ends up being the national champion by several meters there, several yards, and it was awesome. Congratulations to James. We will talk to him coming up, as mentioned, and hopefully everyone had a great Father's Day. Yeah. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. It's a tough Big 12. This team can certainly equal or better what last year's team.
But having the number one recruit changes perceptions about what BYU has to offer.
Kid is a phenomenal passer, kind of a triple-double type guy waiting to happen.
What's Trending is presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. We're 140 days out from men's basketball taking on Villanova in Las Vegas, where A.J. DeBonta and the Cougs set out on the most anticipated season in Cougar men's basketball history. Recently, assistant coach Chris Burgess was on the Washed Up podcast with our friends Eric Mika and T.J. Hawes and had this to say about A.J. DeBonta.
I don't think it's crazy for him to have a triple-double, right, because of his size. I don't think it's crazy for him to be like a 20-10-10. I don't think it's crazy for him to have a game in the 30s. I really feel he's one of those players that we all played with. It's just like whatever the game is asking for him, like if it's like, all right, it's going to be a 2-on-2 or a 1-on-1 situation, we're not going to help off the shooters like Richie or whatever it is, I think he'll go get to the rim every single time. I think he'll get to the paint every single time. Now, Cooper Flagg's a way different player, but he has that Cooper Flagg in a meaning like he does whatever the team needs. He can play with anyone on the court. He competes on both ends of the floor, right? And obviously he's got God-given talent that, like, you know, we haven't seen in a while.
Indeed he has. Dave, what do you make of these comments from Chris Burgess about A.J. DeBonta?
Well, can you just sense the enthusiasm in Burgess's voice? I mean, he's working with him every day, and so you can just see the, hey, this is something else that we have here. So it's great to hear that. Triple-double, when we think of triple-doubles, you think of Kyle Collinsworth. He had 12.
Shout out to my brother-in-law, Tommy Walters, in the Elder Scorn presidency with KC now.
Shout out, Tommy. Can he get one? Yeah. Can AJ get one?
One.
Well, yeah, more than that. If Kyle can get six, this is a phenomenal talent that, again, I just kind of writing off Burgess's enthusiasm, and we've seen plenty of clips. There's clips all over the all over X today of what he's doing on the under-19 camp. Man, 140 days, we got to wait to see what he goes and does against Villanova.
Feels like a long time. Are we in the 70s now? Low 80s on football, the countdown? I'm not doing it every day. It's all good. This is exciting because right now we're hearing Kevin Young say, hey, he's a better passer than he's given credit for. And Chris Burgess is saying, hey, he can do whatever the game requires, which is awesome. He also mentioned in the interview, by the way, that Richie Saunders, after a couple of practices with AJ, said, I've never had more open shots. AJ is drawing a crowd. Yeah. Richie Saunders wide open from three? I mean, that is awesome. So, yeah, I do expect a triple-double from him at some point this season. Is it in Big 12 play where it's a little harder to do? I don't know. I don't really care. Yeah. But the fact that AJ DeBonta is the guy that he is, he could shoot 30 times and we probably wouldn't complain, but he's going to make the right basketball play, which is exciting. So I can't wait, man. 6-1 season for Kyle Collinsworth, 12 overall. That was unbelievable. We're not expecting him to be Kyle. He's a different player than Kyle. But to have a Tracy McGrady, Kevin Durant type on this team who is a future potential all-star in the NBA, I mean, unbelievable. We're going to enjoy this season. We're excited to see what AJ does with the U19 team, as you mentioned. He's crushing it there, by the way. Had the game winner in a scrimmage.
Yeah.
And that's against the top 15 under-19 American players. These are future NBA guys in that camp as well. Future NBA draft picks, All-Americans in college. He's just a Michael Jordan kind of guy. Yeah.
So LeBron James kind of guy. It's Kobe Bryant kind of guy.
Right. That level of he could be truly great at the next level and this level, and he's been great in high school. So that's an interesting comment because I think we think of him as scorer, but it appears that he is much more than that.
And I like in his interviews when they're asking about BYU and Kevin Young, it's always we. We're going to do this. We want to do this. We went to this. And he's all in. Hasn't been to campus, you know, very long. But he's all in on this program. He's been here forever.
Yeah.
He's in the community. He's at the Boys and Girls Club giving out shoes the other day. He's at McDonald's.
Jamaica.
He's in class. He's now working out with
Monica
Team USA.
F1. Yeah. He's all over, man.
Big smile on his face. And his family supports right there. And we're just going to experience something that we've never seen around here before. And I think that's the anticipation. It just goes up every day.
I've compared it to this. We didn't know Jim Romania was coming.
No.
We know this is coming with A.J. DiBonta. There's been this big lead up, which has been exciting. And that creates even more excitement. And it's not just us saying it, right? We're hearing it from literally everybody.
All right. Last week, ESPN's Myron Medcalf and Jeff Brazello, they posted an article discussing which teams won and lost in the off season. They like to do this. We like to do it, too. Medcalf said that BYU basketball is the, quote, national title contender that improved its chances the most this off season. And then he went on to say, young squad is better at nearly every spot a season after its Sweet 16 run. Nearly every spot. These additions could turn the Cougars into a Final Four team. Do you agree with that? Is BYU better at nearly every spot?
Let's walk through it. So replacing Yegor Demon, it's hard to be like, yeah, someone added someone better than Yegor Demon. Rob Wright, to me, is equally good college point guard. What he does is amazing. Different kind of guy. You don't have a jumbo guard anymore, right? It's a 6'1 guy. But his speed and quickness is a little different. His ability to get his own shot, a little different. Better college shooter than Yegor? Yes. Is he as good as a passer as Yegor? No. They have different skill sets, but I would say that that is pretty equal in terms of this guy's probably a lottery pick, and you're adding a collegiate guy from Baylor who is one of the best freshmen in the country.
Yeah, who has experience in the Big 12, which really gives him an edge.
Absolutely. This guy played high school ball. So, yeah, Richie Saunders is Richie, right? You expect him to continue to get better. Kaba is Kaba. Trevin Nell for Kennard Davis Jr. You don't get the same kind of shooter as Trevin, but you get an upgraded defender in Kennard.
And you get more points. 16 to
yes.
9.
And is 16 at Southern Illinois equal to 9 in the Big 12? I don't know.
Yeah.
But a different kind of player, but that's interesting. Mawit Mag was tremendous for the role that he played. Certainly A.J. DeBonta is an upgrade over almost anyone you would ever put in there.
Right.
So I think at nearly every spot, that's interesting. And probably agree with that, which is pretty exciting, given you're losing a likely lottery pick in the
league. Yeah, the guys that are coming back should be better. It's a natural thing that Richie had a great year. Should he be better? Yeah, he should be better. And same thing with Kaba. And then you're right. Then the additions in that starting five, if that's the starting five, and we think it will be, compared to the starting five against Alabama in the Sweet 16, I think you can make the case that at every spot they are better. I remember Yegor and Dallin Hall split a lot of time running the point. Well, Rob Wright doesn't split time. He's not a 50-50 guy. He's an 80-20 guy. And so that dynamic at the point guard is different size, different speed, different way to get to the basket.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see at the end of next season how we compare Yegor with Rob and how they
season.
Ran the offense.
Yeah, exactly.
But everything seems to be a defensive problem for everybody. It's like, well, Richie can't be left with just one guy. If Wright can drive to the basket, then maybe another guy's got to get in his way. And then you got AJ doing his thing. Kaba's looking for a lob. And then Davis is out there, who's a pretty good shooter.
I'm interested to see a couple of things. Because, yes, in certain spots, you're like, absolutely, upgrade. Like, AJ DiBonta over, fill in the blank, upgrade. Is Xavion Staten an upgrade over Foose? As a scorer, probably not. Like, Foose's ability to isolate down in the post is different.
On the height chart, maybe 5, 6, 7 inches.
Defensively, Staten is a better defender. So different skill sets, hard to compare exactly. Is BYU as good of a shooting team as they were last year? The jury is out on that one, because Tyler Morris probably needs to bring you something off the bench. And what's Kennard Davis as a shooter? You know, is Rob Wright, Rich Saunders, A.J. DeBonta, do they just carry you in that regard? And then you get some shooting off the bench from a Brody Kozlowski, a Dawson Baker. Dominique Diamande. They did not have a player like Dominique Diamande on the roster last year. Slasher, coming along as a shooter. Good defender, good in transition. Different skill sets, a little hard to compare in certain areas.
And don't forget about Kadeem Imbup. That guy, that guy's the mystery man.
He is the mystery man. He is a rock-solid four who you could play as a smaller five, can move around, crazy athletic, redshirted last year. He and Diamande redshirted. Diamande at Washington, Imbup here. Crazy upsides for those guys, super athletic. I'm excited to see how they're used. Is BYU better at the backup point guard position? They will not be. Dallin Hall, as a junior... Had started a bunch in the Big 12 guy. He was arguably the best backup point guard in America last year. Yeah. That's a loss, right?
What if you move AJ over to the backup point guard?
By the way, AJ was playing some point.
Yeah.
Because Rob Wright's recovering from a finger injury.
Yeah.
That's why Richie was like, I've never been more open, because AJ was creating so many openings.
Now, if AJ's the backup point guard, maybe we talk about this differently.
I don't think AJ's backup anything. I think he's starter everything. Our question of the day is this. ESPN's Myron Medcalf said, BYU basketball is better at nearly every spot. Do you agree? At 2_6_schemo on X, agree on raw talent and athletic ability, but we'll have to see when it comes to team chemistry. Yep, that's the thing. You just have to wait and see. The Dallin DeFoos combo got us a lot of buckets off the bench. That's a great point. So who will replace that bench scoring? That is a good question, because right now I have Wright, Saunders, DeBonta, Davis, Kaba, Kata as your starters. So Morus, Kozlowski, Boskovic, and Boop, Staten, Pickens, Baker, Diamande are your bench. Will they produce at the same level that last year's team produced off the bench?
Will they play as much as last year's team played?
Maybe more starting minutes.
The starting five scores 20 more points, and you don't need that much from your bench. Last year, they had to have bench stuff, right?
Yes.
Foose came in and changed games. But Foose and Kaba were interchangeable parts. And so I don't know if the – and you play 12 guys, 11 or 12 guys again this year. Maybe you do.
I don't know.
But do you play those kinds of minutes that you did last year? It seems that this five, as they build a team going to the Final Four – this five is going to be on the floor a whole lot more than last year's five.
I agree with you. I think Kaba Kata probably plays 25 to 28 minutes instead of 20 to 22.
Right.
And Staten comes along, you know. It's a different team, which makes sports fun. Every year it's just a touch different. You think you have a certain something, injuries happens, or this guy isn't as effective as you thought, and you adjust and figure things out. I mean, last year, if you had said, hey, this is how BYU football is going to go 11-2, I would not have been like, well, the defense is top 25 and the special teams arguably top five. It was incredible. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
An interesting point I made on the show the other day is that all these new faces and stuff, the same exact staff that's massive to be.
That's wild to keep that kind of continuity, by the way. For as successful as BYU was, that someone didn't bounce, they want to be here. They want to be a part of this because they see what.
And that's going to show up in blending. Not everyone's blending. The staff isn't blending. And so you blend the new guys. That's so much better than everyone blending.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that pays off in the end. They're 10 days out from the NBA draft. Here is where Yegor Demin's projected in the latest mocks. Sports Illustrated has him 13 to the Hawks. CBS Sports has him 15 to the Thunder. USA Today 16 to the Magic. And the Athletic 16 to the Magic. Which of these do you like best?
I like the Thunder the most in this situation. And I've said this repeatedly based on what we're hearing. I don't believe he will get past 15. I think 15 is the last possible spot for him if he's not taken earlier. Love that, obviously. The Thunder in the finals, 2-2, game 5 coming up tonight. Could be the backup point guard there. Great culture. Sam Presti's done an unbelievable job with their draft picks the last couple of years. 16 of the Magic would be interesting because they don't have like a proven dude at point guard right now. Corey Joseph is the penciled-in starter at 3.5 points per game. They just traded for Desmond Bane from the Grizzlies. He's the kind of top shooting guard at 19 a game there. Gave up a bunch of draft picks, like four first rounders. Wild. I think 15 to Thunder would be great. I like 14 to the Spurs. We know Hawks and Blazers and Thunder are and Jazz, I believe, are all interested in Yegor. So he's not going past 15, man.
Keep your eye on the Jazz on this one. But I know he had a great workout in Orlando, and the Magic love him. And he can go there and needs to go to a spot where he can develop, right?
Yes.
And evolve. He's still a young kid. Evolve into an NBA player as opposed to go to a place where they say, be great now, or next year we're just going to replace you because we're not into it. We just need to be great now. And that's the mentality of some.
We have some scar tissue there with Jimmer Fredette and Zach Wilson of the asking that guy to be incredible right away.
Yeah.
Now, with A.J. DiBonsa, that would be different. He's going to go to a terrible team who has a high pick, right, who needs him to be a good player on a bad team right away.
You got to be like the Duke kid. He's got to be
Cooper Flagg.
You need to be the next great thing.
And in the case of the Mavs, they have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. Like, he doesn't have to be the top, one of the top two guys. That's right. Really interesting. And obviously, all the conspiracy theories around the Mavs getting that pick are unbelievable. And as Jazz fans here, it's disappointing. You know what's not so disappointing? National championships. Now, Olympian like James Corrigan can now add national champ to his resume after winning the steeplechase over the weekend. 8:14.61, fastest time in 47 years to win the Natty. Fourth fastest time in college ever. What a year for Corrigan. Let's walk through it. Qualified and competed in the Olympics last summer. Oh, by the way. Won the cross-country national championship with BYU as a team. Won his second straight Big 12 steeplechase this year. And then he won the NCAA championship in the steeplechase over the weekend. Did James Corrigan have the best year of any athlete on campus?
Yeah. Look at that list. Look at that list. There were some good ones. Richie Saunders had a good year. Will Ferrin was fantastic.
Keelan Will Ferrin's been
All-American.
Knighted in Provo.
Let's see. Delaney Gibb was great. Lexi Holiday Lowry, Megan Hunter.
They were unbelievable.
Olave Brittingham was, all these are phenomenal freshmen of the year. But nothing tops what we just looked at.
It's hard.
Stunning.
I mean, I don't know that he needed the steeplechase natty to do it.
Right.
We could have argued it without it.
Yeah.
And then he got the natty, and you're like, man, this guy is the man. Congratulations to James. I think we both agree. He had the best year of any athlete on campus. And he's, I mean, you're in a class with James, and you may not even know it.
Yeah.
At BYU. Like, this guy's an Olympian, national champ, future pro.
Let's ask him if he feels like the man when he comes
in. Does he feel like the man?
Do you feel like the best of them all on
campus? He's like a humble, confident dude.
Yeah.
Also, I want to point this out. That was a win for return missionaries. It is hard to go on a mission and get back to where you were and beyond. It takes a ton of work. It is a sacrifice physically and as an athlete to go on a mission. It is not a sacrifice spiritually. It is a benefit. But it is a sacrifice physically. This kid went on a mission to Tempe, Arizona, and it is hard to get back to be great. He is great, and he will probably testify that he benefited in a way that helped him win that natty because he went on a mission.
He's got another year, too. He's got another year.
He's got another year, which is wild. We'll see what's next for him. You know, sometimes guys go pro, maybe comes, I would assume he comes back. I don't know. We'll talk to him coming up.
It was interesting watching the coverage over the weekend, and it seemed like almost every major race there was a BYU athlete, men's or women's.
Well represented.
Rarely was it, you know, hey, we don't have skin in this game.
Yep.
Even Saturday night, as it was one big race after another, and there's a BYU athlete in there, and it just screams what the program has become over the last handful of years.
Ed Eystone, Diljit Taylor, everybody involved, congratulations. Another great showing in Eugene at the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field National Championships.
A lot of first-team All-Americans
mm-hmm.
coming out of there. So it was good stuff. Thursday night, are we going over the All-Americans or are we just moving on? We were going to show the All-Americans.
Let's show the list. Let's go through
the list.
Let's go through it.
I might have gone rogue there. Sorry. But here's the list, speaking of these All-Americans.
Graphics will thank you later. They're like, we made this nice graphic. Let's look at it. James Corrigan wins the natty, as we mentioned. Lexi Holiday Lowry, second in the steeplechase. Megan Hunter was third in the 800. Congratulations. What a story, Megan Hunter.
Fantastic.
Ben Barton, first-team All-American in the decathlon. Sammy Oblad in the 400. Shout-out to the 4x400 team of Eli Haslett, Jonah Hamuli, Josh Taylor, Trey Jackson. They all came. Everybody, Everybody's been in studio the last month or two here. Great to have them in here. They all are first-team All-Americans. Congratulations to those BYU Cougars. Pretty awesome.
Join us Thursday for a BYU Sports Nation Juneteenth special. We're highlighting inspiring stories of black athletes from BYU and across the Big 12. Thursday, high noon Eastern time, BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, men's basketball radio analyst Mark Durant will join the program. Does he expect a triple-double from A.J. DeBonta this year? What's Demon's best fit in the NBA? And have the Cougars upgraded at nearly every spot? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
This is the most anticipated season in the history of BYU basketball.
This is all about locking up a one or two seed.
This is the best player in the country.
The number one pick, A.J. DeBonta, is going to be the best player on the team. In the most obvious statement of all time. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann with you. Do you get more questions about BYU football or men's basketball? Because for me, it's men's basketball right now.
Is it?
People are so excited.
Well, there's a lot going on with football. That seems to be the first question.
Yes.
Whenever other than that one. But right now, first of all, the BYU social media folks are doing a phenomenal job with basketball. They got stuff, the dunks from pro workouts or whatever. Everything, yeah. So they're feeding the beast pretty good.
Yes, they are. And we will continue to do that with Mark Durant, BYU radio analyst, now joining the program. Mark, it's the offseason, but people are excited about what many are saying is the most anticipated season in BYU men's basketball history. How are you feeling about it, even though it's June?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting to let yourself think about it. But I'm still recovering from last season. That was pretty exciting itself. But I do look forward to that. Obviously, AJ is a big story, but they got a lot of guys, and it's like Sports Nation. You can have Spencer off, but then you bring in Dave McCann. I mean, he's an All-American off the bench. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So BYU's got a lot of guys, but obviously AJ's going to be a big story. But I'm kind of excited to see a Richie Saunders senior year. I mean, I think as good as I think AJ's going to be, I think having Richie with him will make it so BYU can contend for a national title. I think one or the other, probably not. But those two guys together with some of these other guys – I mean, it's crazy to say it. I've been doing it a long time to legitimately say BYU is a national title contender. But I think this year, even though it's June, I think we can say it.
Mark, when you look at AJ and then you look at your game, what are the similarities?
There are no similarities. Zero.
Hard workers.
Come on. You're a battler. You held your own down on the rim.
Know their role.
Yeah, well, what I hope for AJ, and the nicest thing I can say about myself, is I hope AJ has a Mark Durant on his team, because my only goal was to make Russell Larson or Andy Toulson or Gary Trost better. And I wanted to set screens for those guys and get them the ball where they wanted it. And so AJ just doesn't have to kind of do it all on his own, which I think he's capable of. But all I can say for myself is I was a guy that would maybe make AJ a little bit better, not that he needs much help.
He'll be just fine. And it was fun that Richie Saunders told Chris Burgess, man, I've never had more open shots when AJ DeBonta had the ball in his hand. So
exactly.
that's pretty exciting as Rob Wright III recovers from a finger injury. ESPN's Myron Metcalf said BYU men's basketball is better at nearly every spot. Do you agree? Because that's quite the statement.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we'll see how some of the younger bigs play out. I think losing Foose will be a bigger deal than we think. I mean, he was incredibly solid and talented and was a post scorer. I think Kaber really made some strides last year. And you've certainly got other guys coming in, but it's hard for me to rely on too much from guys that I really haven't seen perform. And so maybe you'll play a little bit smaller. You've got great size on the wings. I think Brody Kozlowski is a guy that I'm excited about. But there's a lot of guys certainly capable, and Coach Young will have a lot of options. I mean, that's a beautiful thing for a coach. Depending on the team you're facing, matchups, you can go a lot of different ways. And so I would probably agree with that. I mean, this team, I was going down the list in my mind, and you know, I thought last year had two really good starting five teams, and I think this team could have two even better starting five teams. And so you're playing 10 guys that are super talented at least, and have the ability to have fresh legs and do those kind of things, which I think is important nowadays. And so, again, it's a lot of speculation, which is what we do. I recognize that, but it is June. One thing I've learned, Jeremy, in my time doing this, is things can change, and things can change very quickly. Now, I hope they don't change, or they change for the better. But in today's world, you can't rely too much and count on too much. But certainly as it stands here in June, things look really, really good for BYU.
Let's jump ahead 140 days to Vegas, T-Mobile Arena, with the Villanova season opener. And let's say everything is as it is today. How eager are you for that first 4 minutes before the first timeout? One, you'll probably have to make sure Greg's got oxygen, because there's going to be a lot of adrenaline into that first segment of the game. But from your perspective, what are you most interested in seeing in those first 4 minutes?
Well, let me make it clear that I'm not comparing AJ to LeBron or anything like that. But I remember the anticipation for LeBron's first NBA game, and he was so young. Is he really who we think he is? Can he compete against such good players? And so it's cruel to AJ, but he seems to embrace it a little bit even. So the pressure, the expectation, just to see him play, and everybody, that's what everyone's going to be there for. That's why they have the game, right? Is because of AJ, and teams want to play him, and national broadcasting companies want to play his games on national TV. And so that'll be the story, and that I think what we'll be looking at. But I just want more than that to be able to assess BYU as a team. We're going to know very quickly if BYU really is a team that's going to contend for a national title. And maybe that's not fair. I mean, you can get better over the course of the season, but they're going to have a murderer's row right off the bat. So we're going to have a lot of – sometimes a team, you have questions leading into January. I think with this team, we're going to have a lot of questions answered in the first few weeks with some of the teams they have to play.
10 days until the NBA draft, Yegor Demin's going to be a first-round pick. We hope in the lottery. What we hope more is better fit. What's a good fit for him, in your opinion, in the NBA?
I'm really interested to see what happens with Yegor, because I think he could really be a really great player in the NBA. Now, I don't know that he'll ever develop into a prolific scorer, which is oftentimes what we measure players by. But I think with the open style of play and with the level of players that he's going to be playing with, the way he plays, his vision, his size, I think, first of all, some of the great players in the league would just love to play with him. I mean, can you imagine playing with Yegor? And, you know, he's going to find you. He's going to reward you. And again, not to compare him to Magic, his all-time great, but Magic was a similar, bigger point guard who had great vision, made great passes, and made everybody around him better. So I think Yegor will have a chance to be someone special just because there's not a lot of guys like him. There's a lot of scorers in the league, but to really play kind of like he does is unique, and I think that's what's attractive to him. So I think ideally a team that has some proven superstars that Yegor can come in, not be expected to be a franchise changer right off the bat, but kind of get his feet wet, but then really help those other guys and find them and make them better. And I think he's going to be just a fun player to watch in the NBA. He's going to be a great success. And so we'll see what happens. The draft is kind of a crazy thing. I remember watching my brother, and We expected him to get drafted pretty high, and he kind of slipped a little bit, went to Indiana. I don't expect that to happen to Yegor, but he'll find the right spot, and he's a good enough player that he'll find a place in the NBA, and I think will excel.
Mark, let's finish with this forecast into the future. So you got Yegor going in the draft. You have AJ here getting ready for his season. But what about after that? How do these two major pieces impact, do you think, the next 3, 4, 5 years down the road for Kevin Young?
Yeah, Dave, to me, it's always about momentum. You want to be snowballing. That's what I always admired about Gonzaga's program over the years, is that they established themselves as a place where players wanted to go there because they knew they'd have success. They knew they'd have exposure. And they knew that it was a stepping stone for the NBA. And I think BYU can really be that. Now that they're in a major conference, they're playing high-level teams, they're having success. And once you start getting players like that, it's almost like permission to other great players to come. And credit to Yegor, credit to AJ, credit to everyone that's gone before, really, to put BYU in a position where now players can look at BYU and say, this is a good place. I can really focus on my athletics here with not a lot of distractions. I can compete at the highest level on TV, go to the NCAA tournament, and hopefully make a deep run. And then year after year, as you do that, you become a really hot commodity. And people are talking about BYU as a destination for players now. And you mentioned Wright and others coming. I mean, it's something I didn't quite imagine, but I'm certainly excited to see how it plays out in the next few years, Dave.
If BYU goes to a Final Four, Mark, will you rename one of your goats, AJ?
You'll have to get that past my daughter, but she's a big BYU fan. She might want to name the other one Spencer Linton, but AJ and Spencer might be good replacement names for my two goats.
AJ, Spencer, Dave, Richie, Rob, Brett, the third, all of them. Yeah,
of goats.
All the goats. Mark, we appreciate the time.
I'm not getting any more
insight.
Goats. There's just two.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
Hey, I love you guys. It's always a pleasure to see you.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Love you too, Mark.
The great Mark Durant. Plan to be with us, by the way, Friday for a BYU Sports Nation special. This is how we roll through the summer. This Friday, the top 10 teams in the history of BYU football. There's Chad Lewis
making
a grab. We kick it off Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
The discussion around those teams, let me tell you. I think you know what number one is, but what's 2, 3, 4, and so on. Coming up, what a weekend for track and field in Eugene, and which former Cougar scored 18 points to help his team win a championship. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann. Let's get to today's headlines.
We start with number one, because he is number one. James Corrigan wins the national championship in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. On Friday, the fifth Cougar in school history to do it. His time, 8:14.61, the fastest winning time in 47 years. He's going to be with us in studio here in just a few minutes.
Other first-team All-Americans at the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field National Championships. Lexi Halliday-Lowry, second in the steeplechase. Megan Hunter, third in the 800. Ben Barton, sixth in the decathlon. Sammy Oblad, seventh in the 400. Men's 4x4 team of Hazlett, Haymooley, Taylor Jackson. Woo! First teamers after taking seventh, school record. Men's team took 11th overall, women's team 18th. Congratulations. Great showing for the Cougars in Eugene.
Everybody lives in the top 20, you know?
That's what's up.
Nice job. Great rankings. AJ DeBonta, one of 31 players participating in the USA Basketball's under-19 trials in preparation for the FIBA U19 World Cup. That's in Switzerland. By all reports, he's just killing it. Yesterday, AJ had the game-winning bucket with just over a second to go during a team scrimmage. The roster going to be trimmed to 12, and then those 12 are going to the World Cup June 28th in Switzerland. Is he going to be one of those 12? He's going to be number one of those 12.
Yeah, he's been called to serve in Switzerland. Here's the latest NBA mock draft featuring Yegor Dim, Sports Illustrated, number 13 to the Hawks, CBS Sports 15 to the Thunder. number 16 to the Magic for USA Today, and The Athletic. The NBA draft will be held June 25th through the 26th, next week, in Brooklyn.
Former BYU basketball standout Brandon Davies, 18 points with the beard to help Partizan Belgrade beat Budenkost to win the Adriatic League Championship. And he is a force over there. Nice job.
He's had a tremendous career, mainly overseas. Congratulations to Brandon. He's got a trophy now. That's amazing. Men's volleyball signee Leighton Bluth, I told you there's money in the banana stand, is one of 12 players who are named to the U19 USA World Championship roster, who will compete at the World Championships in Uzbekistan, July 24th through August 3rd. Then in September, he's going on his mission to Chile.
That's awesome.
And he's going to have an eventful summer.
When's the last time you heard someone go, hey, where you been? Uzbekistan? Just get back.
Yeah, it's lovely this time of year.
Former Cougar Daniel Schneeman had two hits, scored a run over the weekend, the Guardians. They lost to the Mariners.
Yeah,
Schneeman hit up 243 on the season. The Guardians need to turn it up a little bit. They're about 9.5 games back of the Tigers in the Central.
What is Cecil Fielder playing for Detroit now? What the heck?
It feels like it.
Softball signee Rita Tavita out of West Jordan High School, which is the second best high school out of West Jordan, Utah, was named the Utah Gatorade Player of the Year after pitching her way to a 24-4 record and Utah 5A state championship. Congratulations.
Gordon Eakin's getting some players. That's great for them.
Crushing it.
Kai and Samson Nakua went to the UFL championship game. They played together on the defense for the Michigan Panthers, and the D.C. Defenders beat them 58-34. Kai had 11 tackles in the loss, so it's been kind of fun to see the Nakua brothers playing together.
Still kicking.
At a professional level, making some money.
Kai's going, Samson, why didn't you score more? Samson's going, Kai, why didn't you guys not give up 58?
Exactly.
Yeah, a little back and forth there. And former Cougar Matt Jensen had 11 tackles for the Utah Warriors in Major League Rugby's Western Conference semifinals, where the Warriors beat the Seattle Seawolves 23-21 to advance to the Western Conference final Saturday against Houston or LA. After the break, he's an Olympian, a Big 12 champ, and now the NCAA steeplechase national champion. James Corrigan will tell us what it took to be the best in the country. This is BYU Sports Nation.
With the expectation you're going to win.
Be able to make hard mental decisions in the race and then be able to come out with a win was huge for me. It gave me a lot of confidence.
James Corrigan, the Olympian, wins the NCAA title in the steeplechase.
Yes, he did. James Corrigan, national champ. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann. James Corrigan now joins us in studio. The champion of these United States, NCAA champ. Congratulations, man. It was so fun to watch. What was it like to win, and of course that final lap was unbelievable, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's good to be here. And yeah, it was a fantastic feeling. If anything, it was just initially just a feeling of relief, and then it was celebration after that, because you know, this is something you're working for and you're thinking about all year.
Isn't it something that you sit here before the race talking about you want to go win it?
Yeah.
Then you win it, and then you come back and you're in the same chair at number one.
What is
that like?
It feels pretty good to, you know, be a little more vocal with your goals and say you're going to do it, and then to put some running behind it. So
yeah.
It's a little scary to put yourself out there, but I think once you've started to do some of the things I've done, you're more willing to talk about some of your goals vocally, and so it feels good to be able to back it up.
Good.
I don't know if it tops being an Olympian, but it was pretty awesome. How would you compare these two things?
Yeah, they're different in their own rights, and they're sweet in their own rights. I think making an Olympic team, you are completely the underdog, and the expectations are so different. In this case, I felt like I was having to face a lot more pressure, and so it was sweet in that way to be able to own up to that pressure and handle it well.
So in this race last year, you finished ninth, mm-hmm. and this year you finished first. Where did everyone else go, or did you just move past everybody?
Yeah, I feel like in a sense, I thought I could win it last year. It was going to be very difficult, but I felt like fitness-wise, I was there, and so I don't feel like there was too much that changed from last year to this year, but my experience played a huge role, because last year, I think what was a determining factor in my placement was not knowing how it would feel to run around. And so after running the prelim, I was feeling rock solid. And then I went to the final and I just felt like I had lead in my legs and I wasn't prepared for how that would feel, nor did I probably recover, you know, as well in between. So I nailed that for the trials and then practiced that every couple races leading up to this. And so if anything, I think experience was king here, and that made up the gap.
Yeah. And you told John Anderson something like your final lap or one of your splits was the same as last year?
Yeah, I want to say it was the same. What's funny is I actually mentioned that, and I didn't mean what he meant, but it was true as well.
So what's the truth there?
I think what I was trying to—I forget what I was trying to say, but I think that stat is also correct. Actually, that I think I closed in around 60 or 61 last year, so I still closed hard. But this year it was to win it. So
you were in way better position going into it. Okay, just a little before that final lap bell happens, you're in fifth.
Yeah.
Are you feeling good at that point? Obviously, a little more adrenaline perhaps kicks in. Like, what was that moment like? Because the leader, Geoffrey Kerwat, he had a big lead.
Yeah,
you had to overtake him on that final lap. It was awesome.
It's funny. I didn't feel the same way at all that everybody else did, apparently, because I watched the race back, and I was like, that's not how it played out. And in the race, for me, I felt like there was we talk about this like imaginary string. And, you know, once the tension gets a little too much, it can snap and you know, your activation and your effort can kind of go away. You don't feel like you can catch them anymore. But if you can keep that string taut, there's always a chance in your mind.
So mentally taut.
Mentally, I felt like I was very connected. Mm. And so I didn't feel like there was a big gap. And so going into that last lap, I knew that I was accelerating and he wasn't. And I could feel that the gap was getting smaller. And I am happy to say I felt very confident. I felt like I was locked in the whole race and kind of knew what the end goal was. And so I didn't freak out in the middle.
While that was going on, and we opened today's show with video of Coach Istone, the camera that was on him watching you finish, and on your family, and watching, and the joy on their faces of seeing you close that out and win. How does that feel? Not to win it, but to know that you provide so many big moments for the people that you love.
Oh, it's amazing. One of my big goals is to always create good stories. And so in my running, and as well as the rest of my life, I love to be part of some cool moments. And so I like to make things dramatic, I suppose. But it was fun. My sister just got off a mission, and she wasn't here for the last global championship that I made. And so for her to see me win in a big way after serving a mission in Peru was pretty cool, too.
Let's talk about it, because I declared your national championship a championship for return missionaries as well.
That's right.
What is the difficulty of physically going on a mission and then returning and trying to get back to a level and obviously exceed it and become your best self?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it varies. For me, it was very, very difficult. I know that sometimes you can run on your mission and you can stay in shape. And for me, it became very evident that wasn't going to be possible. I think, you're having to depend on your companions and the mission that you're in. And I probably ran the equivalent of 1 week of mileage over 2 years. So I didn't
Tempe?
Run a whole lot in Tempe, Arizona. Yeah. So you'd think I'd get to run a little more, but I was very focused on the work. And I told myself that I would be taken care of, even though it'd be very hard. And when I came back, it was very hard. But I think that looking back now, I can see how truly insignificantly small that time of pain was coming back, because then very quickly things happened that I was not expecting to happen, such as making an Olympic team and rising to the top of BYU, which is something that you always have as an end goal. But happening that quickly, I think, was definitely a blessing and a testament to me that God cares. Not that he's going to suddenly make everything feel easy, but that he helped me out for sure.
You've been connected with Kenneth because you've run the same race and you were the two representatives. And now you can kind of say, hey, I won one too. What's that like with Kenneth Rooks?
It's pretty cool. It feels good to follow in his footsteps. I think sometimes, like, especially in high school, when you get compared to runners as you get better, I would always be like, no, like, I'm me, like, stop comparing me to other people. But it's such an honor to be compared in this sense, to share a title with Kenneth and to kind of follow in his footsteps. So I consider it a great honor.
Well, let's compare you to some other people because we like doing that. Just in this year alone, the Olympics, two individual Big 12 titles in the steeplechase, national championship in cross country, now an individual national championship in the steeplechase. We were trying to think if anybody has had a better year than you in the history of this place. Ty Detmer didn't do that. Steve Young didn't do that. Danny Ainge, Jimmer didn't do that.
Pretty good year, James.
They did some things.
look at this graphic, man.
Right? How do you make sense of all that?
Man, I can only say that God got me through all that, because it's hard to even picture all the possibilities going into a season. You know, I set my own goals, but I think my Heavenly Father has helped me set my sights higher. And something cool in my perspective has changed. I think in previous years, I've thought a lot about This is just another race. Just relax, you know, like, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it's been cool this year where I feel like I've gotten promptings from Heavenly Father where I've heard these do matter, and I'm going to help you because of the difference you can make if you win and the difference you can make even if you don't win, but you're out there performing, creating great stories. And so it's been cool. I feel like I've gotten a lot of help, and because I'm willing to put forth the effort, I'm part of these cool stories that bring attention to the church and to the gospel.
So at any time was one of those promptings, run faster.
Oh, always, yeah.
Never slow down.
Don't be so soft. I'm just kidding.
Okay, 8:14:61, the fastest NCAA championship winning time in 47 years, fourth fastest in NCAA history. Tell me about that time and what that specific situation meant to you, because that was an all-timer.
Yeah, it was huge. I think one of my goals coming in this year was to just be an inch ahead of where I was last year, and if I could do that, I knew that things were going to go very well. And things started off slower, just like they did last year, but I was an inch ahead every race, and so sometimes just by literally 2 seconds or 3 seconds. And so to be able to run that fast of a time right now at the NCAA meet was huge for me. I'm 1 second off the world standard right now, and I feel amazing about that because I still have a couple more races before another global championship, hopefully.
All right, speaking of what's coming is next year going to be the title defense year? What's your future look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, in a couple hours here, I'm going to talk with Ed, and we're going to hash it out. I mentioned to some interviewers in Eugene that it's great because I have options. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. We're going to talk about it and figure it out. But if I do come back, you better believe I'm going to go for some more titles in other events as well. But if I forego my eligibility, then we'll expect to see some cool things on the pro scene.
Hey, either way, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
How would you summarize the entire event in Eugene for BYU and that whole experience? Because it was a great showing from the Cougars and a lot of great individual performances.
I think going into the meet and then coming out of the meet, I think the word I think of is like precedence. Like BYU holds this bar and expectation going into meets as a distance group. And I think that was pretty cool. And even outside of the distance groups, I mean, to get a 4x4 team there was super, super cool. And
awesome.
For them to kill it, it just kept echoing in my mind that word of like precedence. Like we hold aura, you know, you show up to meet people, think about BYU, I think.
It's a running school. It's a lot of things, but it is definitely a running school.
Look,
congratulations.
BYU's been good to you. You have been great for BYU.
Nice I appreciate job. It. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Congratulations, James. James Corrigan, national champion on BYU Sports Nation.
If you miss any of our interviews, you want to see this one again, which I recommend.
Watch all the James
Corrigan
interviews.
For
we have
you.
Four or five now.
Yeah, it's like a movie. BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app and get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand. We love having champions in the studio, and it seems like they come in a lot.
More and more as we go. Let's go. Up next, do you agree with Myron Medcalf that men's hoops is better at nearly every spot? Your answers to the question of the day after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day is this. ESPN's Myron Medcalf said BYU men's basketball is better at nearly every spot. Do you agree? At Caleb Pliu on X. I wonder which position he was thinking of when he said nearly.
He wasn't happy with the word nearly.
Point guard's interesting, as we mentioned, because it's two great college point guards right there.
Richie was first team Big 12. Can he be a better first team Big 12? Yeah, but I mean, how close is
Richie's Richie?
Is that a
Kaba's
nearly?
Kaba.
Yeah, those are where it fits in there.
AJ DiBonsa is probably going to be better than most players you put in there, so that's tough. But it's also tough because you don't want to step on the players before who did a great job at their spot too.
Yeah.
At Hayden underscore Hayden Shockley on Instagram. Hot take, even at point guard. It's a little bit of a hot take. But if you're saying this team's good enough for the Final Four, there's got to be upgrades somewhere.
Yeah, if they're going to if they get to the Final Four or the Elite Eight instead of the Sweet 16, they were just that much better.
They were better, yeah. Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, at Rowdy and the Rock. I hung out with at Rowdy and the Rock on Saturday night at the Utah Warriors rugby game. We sat right next to each other.
Was it fun?
He's a big-time BYU fan. He was great. It was so fun. The only spot I'd argue is the passing ability of Yegor Dalin and maybe the post-pounding of Foos. Everywhere else should be at least the same, if not higher, by the end of the season. My only counter there is A.J. DiBonsa.
AJ, we'll go back to your earlier statement, what Richie said. Man, I've never been more open in my whole life than when AJ's on the floor.
Yeah.
That changes everything and elevates everything, and certainly the expectation.
This is a great June 16th opinion.
Yeah.
This is fun. Today's Ride of Shadow, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
James Corrigan, great interview we had just a moment ago. National awesome. Champion of the steeplechase. Congrats again.
Thanks to today's guest, the aforementioned James Corrigan, Mark Duran as well.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Josh McAdams. And happy birthday to one of the GOATs of BYU baseball, Wally Joyner. Go Cougs!